This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The Webster Music Station, Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. And joining me on the phone is David Vandoe and David Wenzel. They are the co-creators of a brand new movie called Hamlet Horatio. Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show.
Thank you for having us.
I'm fine. Glad to be here.
Anytime. So tell me about the brand new movie. It's out now on multiple streaming services. But you know what? Why should people go see the movie? What is it about?
It's about love, hate, evil, good, and how love and goodness together can overcome evil. Shakespeare's plays all have a higher moral plane to them. It's very religious in that sense, of good and evil. And this is a story of good and evil, and how the two characters, Hamlet and Horatio, the love for each other, enables them to overcome the evil that surrounds them and engulfs them and traps them. So it's, in one sense, it's a very moral play of good and evil. But there's another element, too. The good and evil reflects a spiritual level of the script, which is how goodness and love transcends death, and how even after death, the love between people is not lost.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's a deep, deep movie, synopsis. I mean, you know, Hamlet Horatio, I mean, of course, is not one to be, you know, it's not a comedy. It's a very serious, you know, play. But, you know, your rendition of it where you're seeing through Horatio's eyes, you know, what Hamlet's going through is just, it's definitely something to be watched. David Wenzel, you know, you were, you know, an actor who came to New York City. You started studying acting, you know. How did you get into the actual producing films aspect of it?
Well, I mean, it was the transition coming from as an actor was difficult in terms of always waiting for your agent and waiting for roles that they think you might be right for, and putting yourself in an area where it doesn't really have much of control. So I started looking at material and things that I wanted to do as an actor, and then starting to figure out ways to produce it and not wait for Hollywood to come calling. And when I was on, what's that?
No, it's like they say smart, very smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually on the set of Burn After Reading in 2007, I had a sit down at lunch with Emmanuel Lubezki, who has gone on to win Oscars for cinematography, and just started kind of fleshing out my ideas and talking about what, you know, I wanted to do. And all the years that I got to work with Brad and work with these cinematographers kind of had a film school immersion there alone. And he was like, you got to go for it. You got to do it. So that was the first film I produced. That was a while ago. It was called Echelon 8. It ended up being on Netflix. It ended up being on a lot of things. It was a 9/11 CIA conspiracy kind of film. But that's kind of what set the tone for future projects. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, now you're involved in producing and helping, you know, create Hamlet Horatio, brand new film, you know. What was the process behind going to creating this film? You know, was there any struggles, any types of, you know, kind of learning throughout the story of Hamlet? I know, cause it's so hard to kind of dissect Hamlet itself just because it's in such a, you know, an old school English. What was your struggles?
Well,
go ahead, David.
Where I come in. Okay. I was a comparative literature major at Columbia University, and I also got my playwriting degree from my MFA from Columbia. So I'm very well versed in Shakespeare, and I have been since I fell in love with Shakespeare in high school. And one of the things that most attracted me to making this as a film was to make it accessible, make the story of Hamlet accessible to a contemporary audience. And to do that, one of my main challenges was to edit the archaic words and phrases that no longer ring true in contemporary English and replace them with other words and phrases that would have been in Shakespeare's vernacular, but would make perfect sense to us today. And it was a grueling, difficult job. Sometimes it took me days, many hours, to just change one word satisfactorily. But it was worth it, because you come to the film now, and people who've had trouble with Hamlet over the years say, hey, for the first time, Hamlet really makes sense to me. And it's because of the editorial work that we've done, plus the beautiful direction of our director, Paul Warner, and the wonderful performances of the actors. The main characters in Hamlet, Horatio, and Ophelia are all former students of mine at the New York Film Academy, where I teach Shakespeare. And I had these kids in mind when I started working on the project, and I knew that they could pull it off. And the other thing was that I wanted age-appropriate Hamlets. It's really never been done in a major film before. And Hamlet's supposed to be a student at the University of Wittenberg. So, student age. And my actors are student age. And the effect of that is particularly wonderful when it comes to the scenes with Hamlet and his mother. Because if you have a 30 or 40-year-old actor playing the role of his Hamlet, the scenes with his mother talking about the remarriage of his father, of his uncle, on his father's death to his mother, and things like that. A 34-year-old man should be married and have his own children. he should be having that sort of debate with his mother.
I want to go back to, you know, you were talking about how you were dissecting, you know, trying to basically rewrite Hamlet so it would fit in modern age, you know? I mean, were there any, like, is there anything specifically when you were doing that process, you know, that kind of stuck out, like, wow, this is something that we don't even, like, think about today, that, you know, it's basically, like, you had to kind of reword it in a sense that it, like, it would make more factual sense in today's society than it would in later time. Like, I guess example would be, like, you know, is there ever, like, a time when it was like, oh, let's go kill the chickens, but, like, we don't kill chickens, you know, in normal society, but we do, but we don't, like, you know, in, like, a regular day society, like, someone just randomly saying, oh, let's go kill chickens outside, kind of like that. Is there any type of, like, and is there any type of scenario that you're thinking of that, like, that ever happened?
I give you a very specific example. In the very famous soliloquy, which isn't a soliloquy in our film, it's a nightmare. It's Hamlet's nightmare. And he's talking about death and his fear of death, yet longing to be freed of this life. And he talks about the undiscovered country from whose born no traveler returns. Well, that doesn't make sense to us, but if you change the word born to the undiscovered country from whose borders no traveler returns, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That was my challenge. Even in a famous soliloquy such as to be or not to be, I had to change a word or two to make the meaning clear, because the meaning is more important than the archaic word.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare original.
Hey, David Wenzel, you know, did you kind of, like, have a struggle kind of, you know, researching for this, not only, you know, this movie, but also, you know, the role and everything like that? Did you have kind of trouble searching, you know, kind of getting yourself into character because it's such a different period?
Yeah, here's the thing is I played Hamlet, but David Van Doe and I started this journey 20 years ago when I was cast in my first production of Hamlet at the Waterloo Bridge Theater off Broadway in Midtown, you know, in Times Square area. So I had a run of the show, and I felt like I was an understudy, and the understudy went lead actor went on to go do a TV series. So I was called up within 7 days to get ready to actually open the show. So I never really felt like I had a fair crack at it, so to speak. Not that I'm saying I did a bad job. So from there, I kind of discussed potential another production with David, and we kind of looked at the text in a different interpretation, kind of with the focus being on the relationship of Hamlet and Horatio, and kind of like getting rid of some of the other storylines and the, you know, all the political stuff and war and all that. We decided to kind of focus on the spiritual life of the characters. We started to focus on the relationship between the two and how Hamlet really survives as opposed to Ophelia, who's kind of left out there on her own devices, which kind of cracks. Her spirit cracks, is fragile and breaks. So we've done multiple productions up to this point over the years to kind of figure out what works, what didn't in front of a live audience. From there, we had determined that we had taken it on the run and the journey that it can go. And if we were going to reach a higher platform of people, it was time to really start to navigate the idea of making a cinematic version of this. And that's when I made the call to David Van Doe and saying, it's time. So there was a long tenure. Now, I am in it. I'm playing this character, Lucianus, that's in the play within the play. It's kind of like him reenacting the murder in front of the uncle, kind of to catch the conscience of the king, so to speak. But it's my kind of interpretation of what the Joker would be on stage. You know, this dark kind of, kind of medieval kind of character here. And then David is the central focus, plays the gravedigger, which is the kind of the theme. He's kind of the cinematographer and the gravedigger that represents the death side and struggle of Hamlet. So that's kind of, you know, there's a whole tenure of what happened in this. I mean, you know, people said the bodyguard took 10 years. Well, we're over 20 on this. So it has been really well thought out. It has been exercised in front of an audience. It may not be the traditional sense of the, the Shakespeare purists, so to speak, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, I don't know how well they would embrace that, to be honest, not to impugn upon their opinion or their factual history or whatever. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make something that was understandable for a younger audience, because in today's day and age, Shakespeare would have done the same thing.
And now you guys, you know, you won awards during the pandemic.
Seven
awards. Exactly. Congratulations to that, you know, for this film. And it's just, it really is something to be appreciated for, especially for, you know, the history fact of it, you know, the fact that it's such a historic play turned into a movie, you know, into modern day time. You know, what's next for this film? You know, what's next for you guys? You know, are you going to create the next? Are we going to go into like Romeo and Juliet next? Like, what's next? I'm so curious.
I mean, honestly, we could probably do anything, but right now, I'm going to let David interject in a second. But right now, we're also on a journey that we have to compete and make brand awareness of this film so people are not alienated and intimidated by the word of Shakespeare, to make it understand that it is an accessible film for all audiences. When we don't have a $50 or $100 million budget for marketing, what really is, you know, the power of grassroots and doing these radio shows and podcasts and getting the word out and letting the film speak for themselves, if people would just go ahead and rent and trust the fact that they're going to get this film. And if not, they can call me directly and I will make sure they're reimbursed.
I mean, I love that.
It's the truth. And I'm going to let David interject, but you got to realize that 20 years is, I've done a lot of work as an actor. I'm directing a show right now. I've got some films that I'm working on, but this is a huge piece of our life. And this journey, literally, that we just entered just over a month that it's out in the world, you know, we're going to be on this for a while. It's our mission to get people to see it. I mean, forget about the financial recoup. That's an ancillary. Mm-hmm. It really is important to get people to see the movie, get them talking about it, and create, you know, a buzz that even the Hollywood industry would recognize. We're very well recognized in the independent world. Mm-hmm. we've gotten some really great accolades. If you just Google search Hamlet / Horatio, like on the Google rankings and the articles that pop up, you would think that we were like, you know, my God, who's our publicist? Mm-hmm. But it's been one press release at a time, one radio interview at a time, one, and then just word of mouth and social media and all the things that we can do with chewing gum and bailing wire. That's why we're so grateful that you reached out to me to, it's like, yeah, I mean, I would, if it was a basement show and it was a modern adaptation of Christian Slater, Pump Up the Volume, David Van Doe and I would be down there in that basement talking with you. Even if you only had a listener of 5.7 people.
You got to get the word out, no matter what.
Right. That's the producer in me.
Exactly.
But I'll let David talk about it. I mean, David's pretty humble because there's other things that he doesn't talk about. But he spent 20 years of his life working at the Metropolitan Opera.
He had worked
under the tutelage of Franco Zeffirelli, who's probably one of the most powerful visionary filmmakers and artists of our generation. His Romeo and Juliet is impeccable. Every frame by frame is a Renaissance painting. And that's why I also want to give kudos out to our cinematographer, Hernan Toro, as well, because without him, those pictures and those frames are a painting in himself. I'm not going to call it a Renaissance painting. You know, we may be more modern and maybe a little bit more maybe Basquiat-esque, mm-hmm. so to speak. But, you know, and then I know we talked about German Impressionists and things of that nature. But, you know, you'll see there's a theme there as well in the film. And I'm not trying to, like, do that to talk over the audience. I'm just saying, get your popcorn. If you like Game of Thrones, you're going to dig this. 100%. We've got ghosts. We've got action. We've got death. We've got fighting with swords or rapiers. You know, we got that stuff, too. Come give us a shot.
Yes, you know, 100%.
You know, for $4 on Amazon Prime, I mean, come on. That's a good night if you ask me.
100%. You know, and also the schools, too. The schools can totally use this as a teaching tool. You
absolutely.
Know? It's totally something that could be used during their curriculum. You know, Hamlet Horatio, that is the movie. Where can people actually find it, just so that everybody knows?
Yeah, if you just simply put it on Amazon Prime Video, just go do a Google, do a search, not a Google search, but Amazon Prime Video, Hamlet / Horatio. You could go to Google Play, the same thing. You can go to iTunes, the same thing. Apple TV, the same thing. Also, YouTube pay-per-view, pretty much the same thing. Honestly, if you literally just Google in your browser Hamlet / Horatio, it'll tell you all the platforms. If you're on your Roku box or if you're on your Apple TV, just search the title. It'll pop up where it's available and just click the link. It's just, I mean, we're in every major platform that all the big films are as well. And it would be great if you come and support it and let us know on Amazon. Leave a comment. If you didn't like it, I want to hear that too. Let me know your thoughts, you know? And I'm going to, with that note, I'm just going to send it over to David for his last little.
Yeah, sure. Last, go ahead.
Yeah. I'd like to close out by saying a discovery that I have made by people who have flocked around this film and have commented to me. And it's a very inspirational film. And a lot of the popularity for the film is that in coming out of this pandemic, it's just the perfect fit. People feel so good about the world having seen this film. And that is more than just what I had to do with it or David had to do with it. We had a whole team who put their services and talent at Shakespeare's genius. And we like to think we married the two.
That is awesome. Seriously, that is awesome. Well, the movie is Hamlet Horatio. You can check it out on all different streaming platforms and on pay-per-view, and you'll be able to see it hopefully sooner or later.
Well, we're going to have it. It's on all streaming platforms, and then DirecTV. It's going to be available on DirecTV at the beginning of August, and then in September, it's also going to be available on Vudu TV, and then it will start moving its way towards subscription platforms like your Hulus, your Netflix, all that kind of stuff as well.
Awesome. Well, David,
don't wait for that.
Yes, we need to help. Don't wait. Fund it now. Hamlet Horatio, the story of Hamlet told through the eyes of Horatio. Well, David and David, thank you so much for joining me here on my show. Best of luck with the movie. Seriously, it's an awesome one, and I'm very excited to see where else it goes from here. Thanks again for joining me, and best of luck with it.
Thank you so much, Zach. Thank Have a great one.
Anytime. The Web2 Music Station, Z Radio Live, back with more show after this.
Want to hear more? Listen to The Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.